We continue now with Maseches Beita Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to begin Vav Amud Beis on the bottom of the Amud. Previously, the Gemara had taught in the name of Rav Beitza Imitziyasa Nigmara, that a Beitza, an egg, at the time that it leaves the body of the hen, at the time that it is naturally laid, Nigmara, that's when it is fully formed. And the Gemara had inquired, what is the practical significance of Rav's teaching? After all, it would seem on the surface that Rav is just teaching something interesting about the eggs, that they are not fully formed until they are laid from the chicken. But the Gemara assumes that that's not so. There has to be some nafkimi, there's something of practical significance over here. So after considering several possibilities, the Gemara now on the bottom of the Yomud, Vav Amud Beis, says the following, Ela imitziyasa nigmara megadela sefrochim. That once an egg is naturally laid, at that point, there is the potential that it could be megadela sefrochim, that it could produce chicks. However, b'mayimah, that if we would shech the chicken and find fully developed eggs inside, ain't a megadela sefrochim. They are not fully developed to the extent that they can actually go ahead and produce chicks. Says the Gemara L'mayin Afkamina, but still, we're left with the original question, what is the practical significance of that? What is the legal implication of that fact about chickens? So what? So the Gemara says the nafkamina would be lemekachum memkar regarding a case of sales. And Rashi over here explains that if a person is interested in purchasing eggs that will then be used to produce other chicks, and he makes such a request of the seller, so then he has to know that he's getting those type of eggs. If a person would go ahead and say, I want to buy eggs which could be used to be megadel afrochim, and the person goes ahead and sells him eggs that he found b'moy iman, that had not yet been naturally laid, but were found inside of a shechta chicken, so that would be considered mekachtos. That would be an invalid sale, because even though it may look on the surface to be as egg is an egg is not an egg. Sometimes eggs are used for eating, and sometimes the purchaser wants to use them to be megadel afrochim. So the Gemara goes on to cite several stories which illustrate this idea. Ki Yahud Amalei Lehu, there was a certain person who said, Beya the Pachya Leman. Where can I find Beya the Pachya? Where can I find eggs that come from a literally a live hen? But we're talking over here about a hen that makes certain noises at the time that it is laying the eggs. And apparently, this is a sign, this is a simen, that these eggs are fertilized, that these can actually be used to go ahead and produce chicks. So, Yahavu le Beya the Shchuta. So after a person inquired that he was interested in purchasing Beya the Pachya, he was interested in purchasing eggs that could be used to produce chicks, so they gave him Beya the Shchuta. They gave him eggs that came from a hen which was shechted. In other words, they could not be used to produce chicks. So there was now a dispute between these two parties. So also l'kami de Rabbi Ami. So this case was brought before Rabbi Ami. Amar lahu, he said, Mekach tos uvahadar. This is considered to be an invalid sale, and the money needs to be returned. This individual, the purchaser, who went ahead and he bought these eggs, had no intention of buying eggs that could be merely used for the purpose of eating. He wanted eggs that could be used to produce chicks. So says the Gemara Pshita. This is obvious. What's the chiddush of Rav Ami's ruling? Obviously, he purchased one thing and he got something else. So ma'al d'tameh, perhaps you would have thought, hay l'achila kabaylhu. Maybe when a person asks for bey the pachya, he asks for these eggs that came from a hen that was making these noise, he was also interested in purchasing eggs that would be used la'achila for eating. The only reason why he said that he was interested in bey the pachya is mishum the tzrivan, because they are fully developed and therefore they taste better. But he also was only interested in eggs that would be eaten. In other words, he didn't say explicitly, I want to purchase eggs that are going to be used to produce chicks. He merely said, I want bey the pachya. So maybe the bey the pachya is because of his taste preference. So says the Gemara L'mayin Afkamina, but what's the difference? After all, he asked for Beya the Pachya. So why does it make a difference whether or not he wanted them because they tasted better or because he wanted them to produce chicks? The bottom line is, he didn't get what he asked for. So says the Gemara, no, the Nafkamina would be L'meisva L'Beya Beni. Because if in fact he had inquired, he had intended to purchase eggs that would be used to produce chicks, so if he got something else, then this would be considered mekachtos. If, however, he purchases eggs l'achila, and he wanted one of a certain grade, a certain quality, and got a lower quality, so then all the halacha would require is that the difference in proceeds would be returned. So if he paid a little more than he actually received, then the difference in the cost would be returned to him. Kamash Malan comes along with Ami and says, no, when a person requests Beit Abachi, he's not interested in having a higher grade quality egg in order to eat. Rather, he's interested in going ahead and buying eggs which could be used to produce chicks. And so therefore, this is a complete mekachtos. He didn't get at all what he asked for. It's not just that they didn't taste as good, in which case we could say, he could just go ahead and request a partial refund. He can request a complete refund because this is not what he got at all. Continues the Gemara, similar myself. Who da'amar lahu, beya the dechulaman, beya the dechulaman. There was a certain person who went ahead and he was inquiring, where can I find eggs the dechra? This is another expression which the Gemara uses to describe fertilized eggs. I'm interested in buying fertilized eggs. So Yahavile beya the safna miara. So what happened was he went to a certain person and they sold him unfertilized eggs. So also l'kamid de Rav'ami, once again they appear before Rav'ami because they were seeking a psak. So amaluhu Rav'ami said mekach tosu v'hadar. This is again a case of an invalid sale and he's entitled to a full refund. So again the Gemara asked Pshita. Obviously he was interested in purchasing fertilized eggs. And he got a completely different product. So obviously, the sale is invalid. What is the chiddush of Rabami's psak? So says the Gemara, Ma'u de teme, perhaps you would have thought the haila achila kabaylu, that really he was interested in eating these eggs also. The only reason why he requested fertilized eggs is not because he was really interested in purchasing eggs which are going to be used to produce other chicks, rather because these are richer, they taste better, they're fattier. And again, as we said beforehand, he was just looking for a higher grade, a higher quality egg, but really he only wanted to eat it. So it says the Gemara again, l'mayn nafkamina. If so, then what's the difference? After all, at the end of the day, he didn't get what he requested. He asked for bey the dechra. He asked for fertilized eggs, and he was sold unfertilized eggs. So says the Gemara, no. L'meisva l'beni beni. Had the purchaser wanted fertilized eggs merely for eating, had that been his only intention, so then he would not be entitled to a full refund, because we would say basically he got what he was looking for, but not of the same quality, and so therefore they would have to return part of the money. Just the difference between the cost of fertilized eggs which would be eaten and unfertilized eggs which would not be eaten. Kamash Balan comes along with Ami and he says, no, that when a person asks for Bey de Dichra, when a person asks for fertilized eggs, our assumption is he's asking for fertilized eggs not because he wants to eat them, not because they taste better, not Mishum de Shaminatfe, because they're fattier, they're richer, but rather because he wants to purchase eggs which could be used to produce chicks. In which case, that's not what he got. He got unfertilized eggs and he is entitled to a complete refund. The Gemara now continues with another possible explanation of Rav's statement. What does it mean when it says, Beitza imitziyasa nigmara? Viba Yasema says the Gemara, another possible answer is, my imitziyasa nigmara. What does it mean that it is completed when it exits the hen? Imitziyas ruba nigmara. It means that as long as a majority of the egg has emerged from the mother, so then it is considered to be fully formed. Uchad Rabbi Yochanan, and this is consistent with the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Yochanan taught Beitza Shiyatza Ruba Me'erev Yamtif V'Chazra. A very unusual case: an egg emerges partially, or in this case, the majority of the egg emerges before Yamtif, but then V'Chazra then recedes back into the body of the mother, and it is not fully laid until Yamtif. So you have a case where it was partially laid on Erev Yamtif. Ruba, the majority of the egg emerges, but then it completely recedes and it is laid completely on Yom Tov. Muteres lachom Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yochanan teaches that you could eat it on Yom Tov, even though our Mishnah teaches, Beis Hillel teach that a Beitza Shenolda b'Yom Tov is asur. Says Rabbi Yochanan, if Yatza Ruba me'erev Yom Tov, if the majority of the egg emerges beforehand v'chazra and then it recedes, it's muteres. So that could be what Rav is teaching. When Rav says Beitza imitziyasa nigmara, he's teaching that when the majority of the egg emerges, so then it's considered to be completely formed, and that's considered to be a leda. So even though it recedes and it does not come out completely until the next day, it would be mutter to eat on that day. V'ikud the Amri, and there are those that say, no, mayim tziyas nigmaru, what does it mean that the egg is not fully formed, rather, imitziyas, until it completely exits? Imitziyas kula nigmara. It means, fakert, the opposite, that only when the entire egg emerges, Imitzias kula in of Arubalo, that when the entire egg comes out, so then we consider the egg to be fully formed. But if the majority of the egg emerges from the mother in Erev Yomtif, and then it recedes, and it doesn't come out until Yomtif, we would not say, as Rabbi Yochanan teaches, that the egg is going to be mutter on that day. Why? Because we say, Imitzias kula nigmar, it's only when the entire egg emerges that it is going to be considered complete. And this shita of Rav is coming to exclude, to reject the position of Rabbi Yochanan, who teaches that when rove of the egg emerges on Erev Yom Tif, and then it recedes, and it does not completely finish, it's not completely laid until Yom Tif, that it is going to be usur on that day. The Gemara now continues on the fourth wide line, Gufa. We had previously taught, Hashochet is Hatanogoles and Matzah Bobetzim Gemuros Mataris La'ochem B'cholav. The Gemara quoted a braisa that one who shechts a chicken and finds fully formed eggs inside, Mataris La'ochem B'cholav, you can eat those eggs together with milk. In other words, they are considered no longer to have the status of basar, they're no longer considered to be part of the flesh of the chicken, and so therefore it is permissible l'chadchila to eat that together with milk. Rabbi Yaakov omer im hayu ma'urus begidin asuros. Rabbi Yaakov however teaches not necessarily that if these fully formed eggs are still connected to the gidin, to the tissues within the hen, so then they are going to be asuros, they're going to still have on some level the status of basar, and it would be prohibited to have that together with milk. So continues the Gemara, Man Tana Lahoda Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana who teaches that which you find in the following Braisa? Just before we begin the Braisa, just some word of introduction, which is pretty much found here in Rashi. Rashi points out that the Torah tells us that the nevela of an Ov Tahar, that the carcass of a otherwise kosher bird that was not shechted properly, that died of some other causes, natural causes, or something other than a kosher shechita, so it is metameh, it is going to cause tumah. However, unlike typically where tumah is passed along by direct contact, or by carrying the source of tumah, in this case, when it comes to the nevel of an of tahar, tumah is contracted the beis habliyah by eating it. And when a person eats the nevel of an of tahar, not only does he become tameh, but the clothes that he's wearing as well becomes Tame. So Rashi, with that background, helps us understand this braisa. The braisa teaches that a ochel minivlas ov tahar, a person who eats from the nevela of a kosher bird, so the braisa is not trying to identify which parts of the bird are considered to be basar, considered to be the flesh of the ov, which will therefore cause one to contract this tumah of nevelas ov tahar. So it says, Minash Shalol Shabetzim, if one ate from the cluster of eggs that are attached to the hen, again, after the hen has been cut open, you find inside these Beitzim that are still connected to, a cluster of eggs that are still connected to the tissues of the ovary, Min Hatzamos, from the bones of this chicken, Uminagidim, or from the sinews, Uminabaso Shenitlash Minachai, or even from flesh that was detached from the bird while it was still alive, in all these cases, tahar. While, of course, it is prohibited to eat any of these things because they all come from nevela, but it will not generate tuma, it will not cause tuma bebeis abliyah because this is not considered to be basar from the oaf. However, mina eshkol shabetzim, if it came directly from the ovary itself, mina kurkavan, from the crop of the chicken, ubnei meyayin, or from the intestines, from the innards, o shehimchas achelev ugmao, or if he melted the fat and drank it. Rashi says that this teaches that not only eating part of the nevela of tahar, but even drinking it. So if you hear, if I go ahead and I melt the fat and drink it, in all these cases, tameh. In all these cases, the person who swallowed, again, as we see, either mina eshkol shebeitzim, from the ovary, mina korkavan, from the crop, mina meyayin, from the intestines, or even if he drinks the fat, in all these cases, tameh. So continues the Gemara, man tanu mina sholosh shebeitzim tahar. Which is the Tana who teaches that which it says over here, that one who eats from the cluster of eggs, which is attached to the connective tissue of the ovary, that he is tahar. So Rabbi Yosef says, the loka Rabbi Yaakov, obviously, this position is not consistent with that of Rabbi Yaakov. Dika Rabbi Yaakov, because what we say previously, Ha'amar, he says, im hayim urus begidin asuros. Rabbi Yaakov taught that eggs which are still attached to the connective tissue of the ovary, they are still considered to be basar, and therefore if you had, you cannot have it yet together with milk. And so therefore, it would seem, for the sake of consistency, that Rabbi Yaakov would also rule over here, that if you are eating, if you have an nevela of an ov tahar, and you go ahead and you eat from the shalosh shebeitzim, so according to Rabbi Yaakov, that should be considered basar. That's not considered yet a fully developed egg, which is considered separate from the chicken, but rather that's still part of the chicken itself. And so therefore, there should be a contraction of tuma by eating this shalosh shebeitzim. So Rabbi Yosef reasons that the Tana, who says that one who eats from the shalosh shebeitzim is not going to be tamei bebeis abliyah, so that is obviously not Rabbi Yaakov, because Rabbi Yaakov teaches that you cannot eat min ha shalosh shebeitzim together with cholov. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, not necessarily. Mimai, how do you know this is so? Dilma, perhaps, Akalo kamar Rabbi Yaakov Hassam, perhaps Rabbi Yaakov only said what he did. There, le'inyin isura, regarding the question of Issa v'heter, eating basa b'chalav, eating the eggs together with milk. Aval le'inyin tumalo, but perhaps regarding the question of tuma, he would not say that way. What would be the distinction between the two? So Rashi says, el le'inyin isura, the afa gav t'lav basa ninhu. Rabbi Yaakov perhaps says that even though it's not really basar, also la midurabanon, it is still prohibited midurabanon, ho'il krovim li'os basar, because as long as there's still connection to the tissue of the hen, it is karov li'os basar, it is still close to the concept of basar, and therefore Chazal would go there that you cannot have this with milk. And therefore it's shaykh to go ahead and make such a gezeir basa b'chalav. V'ale inyun tumah lo, but perhaps regarding the question of tumah not, delav basa ninhu, because it is not considered basar delatamo that it should actually go ahead and cause this tumah. V'chitemen, if you tell me, le'inyun tumah nami nigzar, maybe we should make a gezeir regarding tumah as well. There should not only be a gezeir when it comes to the isur basa b'chalav, but when it comes to the isur of tumah as well. When it comes to the din of tumah, we should say that eggs that are still attached with some connective tissue to the hen is considered basar, and therefore, even though midaraisa, it does not actually generate tuma, we should say midrabanan, it should. So says the Gemara, no, why? Apushe tumahu. This would cause an increase of tuma. Apushe tuma midrabanan lomashinan. And as a general rule, Chazal do not institute gezeros, which will go ahead and increase the extent of tuma. They would only do so if there was a very, very compelling reason. And over here, there is no compelling reason why Chazal would go ahead and require a chumra of this nature, that something that is not considered to be basar would still generate tum of the beis amblia. The Gemara now presents an alternative reading of this discussion. V'ikad the Amr, there are those who say that this is how the conversation in the Gemara went. Man tanim in eshkol shebeitzim tameh. Who is a tanu who taught that from the ovary is tameh? Right? Until now we've been talking about the shalosh shebeitzim, the cluster of eggs which are still connected to the tissue of the hen. But there is, in that very same braisa, the tana that says min eshkol shebeitzim, from the ovary itself, is considered to be tameh because this is part of the basar, the chicken. So who is that tana? So Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef taught Rabbi Yaakov he. This is Rabbi Yaakov the Amar who says im hayim uros begidin asuros, that if the eggs are still attached to the connective tissue of the chicken, so then they are prohibited. So we see that both the brisa and Rabbi Yaakov would consider eggs that are fully formed but attached, still attached to the eggs, they are considered to be basar. Lagabay everything, both in terms of the Yisr Basa B'chalav, as well as the Yisr of Tuma. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, no. Mimai de Eshkol mihanach de Tayyib Eshkol. Why do you assume that ovary over here refers to that which is Tayyib Eshkol, that which hangs from the ovary, in other words, the eggs? There's a difference between the ovary itself, which is part of the anatomy of the chicken, and the eggs, which hang, literally hang from the ovary. Dilma eshkol gufei, perhaps it only refers to the ovary itself. Maybe that's all the Tana was talking about it. When he said that the ovary is something which is tamei, that's the ovary, but not the eggs which are hanging from the ovary. And if you tell me, well, if that's so, then what's the chiddush? Why would the Bryce have to tell me that the eshkol, that the ovary itself is something which is tamei? After all, that's part of the chicken. And since the Torah tells us that the nevela of an of Torah is going to be metamei bebeis abliya, it's going to generate tuma, and the person who's eating it is automatically going to be in a state of tuma, so that applies to all of the flesh of the chicken, including the ovary. So says the Gemara, midi dahavi akurkavan ubnei meyayin. Perhaps the answer is because in this case it is very similar to the case of the kurkavan. Again, as we said, the crop, the gizzard, ubnei meyayin, and the intestines, which are mentioned in the brisa. The afagaf to baser nehinu, because even though what these are obviously parts of the chicken that are still considered to be baser, keva the ika inshu de lo achli, since there are people that don't eat these things, so therefore it's yirch lashminan, therefore it was necessary for the brisa to teach us that they are still considered to be basar. There are parts of the hen that are technically considered basar, but a lot of people don't eat them. People don't consider them to be basar. They don't consider them to be the flesh of the chicken. And so therefore the brisa had to mention not only the obvious parts of the chicken that are basar, but even those other parts that are not, the kurkavan, etc. So, agav that, so the Braisa also mentions, hachanami, kevin, the ika, inshi, de lo achli, since there are people who don't eat the ovary, so itzrich lashmina, perhaps it was necessary for the Braisa to teach us that the ovary is still considered to be part of the basar, part of the flesh of the chicken. So therefore, as Abaye argues, since this term eshkol shel beitzim may refer to the ovary itself, not to that which is talya be'eshkol, not to the eggs which are hanging literally on the ovary, but eshkol shel beitzim may refer to the ovary itself. So therefore, there really is no basis for assuming that Rabbi Yaakov is a Tana d'Braisa, that the Braisa follows the position of Rabbi Yaakov, who says that even attached eggs are considered to be also to eat together with chalav, and so therefore we can't necessarily conclude with certainty that the Tana d'Braisa is the same as Rabbi Yaakov.